Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 29, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter June 29, 2020. We look at the world through ego reason. The Creator deliberately created us in egoism. In faith above reason, we elevate ourselves to the degree of bestowal, Bina, entering the Creator's vision, His world, His perception of reality. Faith above reason allows us to see reality the way the Creator sees it. From Twitter, June 29, 2020. Rigid system full of goodness. Question: Is nature something living, rational, with emotions, thoughts, plans, and the possibility of a meaningful reaction to our impact? Answer: Nature is a rigid system consisting of inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human parts. All of them are in a certain dynamic equilibrium. If we upset this balance with our selfish influence, then nature reacts to this in the opposite direction, deviating like a pendulum to the other side. This is what we experience today with the example of the coronavirus. Now we will be hit by such blows that will force us to become integrally connected because we exist in a state of the last generation. The last generation means the last egoistic generation in which the ego is corrected. We must fix it. Question: So all our suffering comes from nature? Answer: Of course. All suffering comes from the fact that you violate the integration of nature, its balance. Only from the loss of balance in nature that occurs through your fault do you get a reaction from it, which you feel as pain, trouble, and problems. Man himself is very weak. You put a little pressure on him, and he already moans, cries, and is ready to do everything as it should be done. Thus, nature will force us to become good, mature, and most importantly, kind parts of nature toward each other. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10, 2020. Prevent the suffering of humanity. Question: Is it possible that in the near future, let's say, perhaps in a year, a country may turn to Kabbalists in order to introduce a new system of education and upbringing? Or is this impossible from the perspective of spiritual laws? Answer: It does not matter whether they turn to us or not. We need to be ready and spread our knowledge among all. Then in every country there will be smart people, including you who are engaged in Kabbalah, who will be able to participate in the transformation of their country and society. To do this, it is enough to attract scientists and show them that everything should be in accordance with the integral system of humanity, society, and nature. Humanity needs to change itself, to recreate from itself an integral part of nature. Today it is opposed to nature and therefore suffers. This suffering must be prevented. If society becomes integral, then everything will be fine. But if not, it will bring itself to a third world war and will practically disappear. This is stated in Kabbalah. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. Man is a controlled being. Comment: What should I do if I want to explain and show people the lies that surround them, that the lion's share of the media cannot be trusted? People don't really care, they are ready to accept the victim's position. They only feel fear, doom, and helplessness. My response: No, this will not happen. Understand that there is a border beyond which we can no longer endure suffering and we must try to find some solution. After all, if it hurts me, I can say, ouch. And if it is unbearable pain, then I will look for a cure, the opportunity to somehow calm it down. And if, in addition, this applies to my children, my family, relatives, state, and the world, then here we will take it all together. We will not go anywhere because we can feel pain and joy. Therefore, we are very easy to manage. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10th, 2020. Michael Lateman, on Quora, why does coronavirus not affect animals and birds? We humans are the main victims of the coronavirus due to our negative connections to each other. Animals have no hatred in their connections. For instance, even a lion hunting to kill an antelope does so out of an instinctive necessity for food, and not out of a will to express power and dominance over the antelope. As such, the viruses and germs that animals pass to each other physiologically have lesser infectious impact as they do in humans, where our negative thoughts and emotions make us more susceptible to disease. While animals live in balance with nature, humans have excessive desires that bring us out of balance with nature. The exploitation, manipulation, abuse and hatred running in the midst of human connections make the effect of viruses that we spread to each other much more potent. Therefore, no matter how much we wash our hands, wear face masks and keep our distance from each other, unless we undergo a fundamental attitude shift, from negative relations to positive ones, where we replace exploitation, manipulation, abuse and hatred with support, encouragement, love and care, we will continue seeing more and more coronavirus infections and deaths among us. Also, note how we call our distancing social distancing and not merely physical distancing, since we need not only distance ourselves a few feet away from each other, but due to our negative connections, we need to distance ourselves socially and emotionally for some time in order to secure our health. Moreover, even if we devise ways to heal ourselves from the coronavirus, with no accompanying attitude upgrade, then we can expect the virus to strike back in more complex and intricate ways, since our negative attitudes to each other will continue making us vulnerable to harm. Therefore, together with the social distancing conditions that our health departments advise us to follow, and together with the efforts to come up with a vaccine against the virus, the ultimate remedy to this pandemic, as well as to many other problems in our lives, will come when we change our attitudes to each other from negative to positive. Michael Lateman, on Quora, has the COVID-19 pandemic caused any increase in antisemitism, with some people blaming Jews/Israel/Mossad for releasing the virus? The websites Israeli Cool and Net News documented multiple posts on social media showing blame of Jews for the coronavirus. Net News published its findings just 18 days after the Israeli Cool post, and it showed a significantly larger amount of anti-Semitic posts added in that short time frame. Some views spread through the posts included the coronavirus engineered by Jews as a biological weapon for power motives, as a conspiratorial plot to reduce the world's population, and that the Jews and Israel developed the coronavirus for wealth and power motives, which would be confirmed if Israel invented the vaccine to counter the virus. Also, the arrest of a 23-year-old man in New Jersey was reported after he stated, on websites favored by white supremacists, his intent to target Jews he blamed for spreading coronavirus. Throughout history, Jews have been viewed as the root of all evil, scapegoated for many different misfortunes that have befallen their surrounding societies and cultures, and this foreboding trend has continued into our very era. From blame for the murder of Jesus Christ, to intentionally causing the Black Death pandemic, to various economic crises, and many other phenomena, Jews have continually found themselves under accusation. In the last few years, as times have become tougher, anti-Semitic crimes and threats have also vastly increased around the world. A little before the coronavirus took the world by storm, a spike in anti-Semitic events in the United States started spawning questions as to whether a second Holocaust could take place in America. As nature tightens humanity's connection and more hatred surfaces between people, the time is ripe for learning how to realize our increasing connection positively, how to unite above the growing divisiveness, as is written in the words, "Love will cover all crimes." Jews, whether knowingly or unknowingly, Hold the method to unite above division and spread such unity to the world, that is, to be a light unto the nations. However, if we fail to progress to unity upon our own differences, we will then continue bringing a destructive negative tendency to the world, and more people will instinctively feel that we are the root of the world's problems, as we now also see with the coronavirus. The sooner we realize that our unity will have monumentally positive unifying rippling effects the world over, then the sooner we can treat anti-Semitism at its root. By uniting, we fulfill our role in the world, establishing a new balance of forces between humanity and nature. In the last few months, the need for unity has become pronounced in many ways, from the need for mutual responsibility and consideration in order to keep good health in the face of the coronavirus pandemic, to the need for unity in the face of growing social division, xenophobia and racism. In short, today there is a growing need to adapt to the world's increasingly interdependent conditions. If we realize our role and initiate our own unity, we will then not only see anti-Semitism diminish, but on the contrary, we can then expect a new love and respect for a Jewish people who emit a positive unifying example to the world. There would be no reason for anyone to hate Jews since people would know how to unite, and united people do not hate each other, nor the ones who show the way to their unity. Man in an Interconnected World, Part 3. Humanity is a single organism. Question: we live in an interconnected world, and this connection manifests itself at all levels. Everyone knows such phenomena as the butterfly effect, the domino effect, collective intelligence, the wisdom of the crowd, etc. There is even a discipline called crowdsing, using the wisdom of the crowd to solve all sorts of problems. It defines that interconnection as a state of mutual responsibility, dependence on each other of someone or something, a relationship in which neither party can do without the other. In Kabbalah, this law of mutual guarantee was described 3,000 years ago. What is this law? Answer: mutual guarantee, avut, is when we all represent one unified integrated system. We are not talking yet about all the people of the earth. But, in principle, nature moves us to realize that we are fully integrally interconnected. Therefore, we must change in our attitude to each other, in our attention and mutual assistance, so that we are an absolutely united single organism. A body. This means that just as I take care of my body and instinctively wish for the best for it, I must take the same part in nature and strive for everyone to reach the same level. From CabTV's The Age of Post-Coronavirus, April 16, 2020. Appreciate communication with friends. Question: all the work in the group is in order to realize our insignificance and inability to unite. But each meeting should end in joy. What joy is there in realizing your own insignificance? Answer: yes. But you were together. You felt each other. You talked about a common goal that partly shone for you through the friends. If you had no attraction to the goal, then they helped you attract it a little. Therefore, any communication is very helpful for advancing. I advise you to get out of any state only through communication with friends. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 26, 2020. Woven from ascents and descents. Question: according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, profit and loss are assessed according to the pleasure or suffering that a person feels. What does a person draw away from and what does he hate? Answer: if a person draws away from something, then he has the opportunity to value the closeness, but if he simply gets close to something, he doesn't feel it as something special, as something that he receives from above. Therefore, all our motions, our attainments, the spiritual essence that develops in us, are made of ascents and descents. We need to understand very clearly that there are no ascents without descents. We are like a pendulum moving in amplitude from side to side. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 22, 2019. Rental family. Remark: in Japan, they rent children, husbands, and wives, and now whole families are being rented out. A man goes to an agency and orders a family. He can choose people of a certain physique, personality, character, etc. This is a serious psychological work. As a rule, a person needs attention. We say that in the 21st century, the family is not the most important thing in life for a person. My comment: no, not that the family is not important. It is not important to be formally registered and obligated according to some kind of registration. A man still wants to be connected internally. He must feel attracted so that even a duty is pleasant to him, as is usually the case with children. As our egoism is constantly evolving, it all must go through our desires. That is, I want to be obligated, I want to take care, I want it to attract me, to somehow connect, to be involved in some way, just like when people play different games and they tie or even beat and threaten each other. That is, you feel dependency, duty, and along with it, attachment. This is what a person lacks today because we do not know how to play with our egoism. Question: so maybe we should stop there and let everyone always rent a family. Answer: and how does a modern family live today? Remark: in the case of a rental family, we know that there is a certain distance between people and that it is sort of a game. My comment: no, it depends on the agreement. I think there is nothing special here. Of course, the Japanese have ancient traditions, geishas who really supported the psychological atmosphere, conversation, participation, games, music, etc. That is, this is what a person lacked. TV today cannot replace this. This requires even more insight because our egoism develops, and it begins to see its finiteness, viciousness, and limitation. I actually want such sensations that you cannot just give to another or another give to you. Therefore, this is a very interesting arrangement. Question: what is a family? A standard to which a person internally aspires? Answer: family is a clear, internal concern for each other, where you feel that your happiness lies in ensuring that you provide the happiness of another. This is family. And it can be some other people, your little dog, or even get a crocodile at home, no matter who or what. The main thing is that you feel that you enjoy, that you are fulfilling someone. Question: maybe it is normal that now marriages occur between same-sex people? Answer: I do not know what to call it, marriage or not marriage. This is all very arbitrary. Most importantly, a person feels enjoyment in taking care of someone. Giving to another turns into one's own fulfillment. And that is why there are so many pets and various clubs where people somehow interact and do something. It is true that this goes beyond simple sex, since it does not fulfill a person. Even if it lasts for quite some time, many times a day, he begins to feel that, in general, this does not fulfill him. Question: is there a difference, a family for a woman and a family for a man? Why is family important for a man? Answer: for a woman, physical attachment, belonging to someone is more important. For a man, spiritual affiliation is more important, more like spiritual concern for another. A woman sees her realization in physically caring for a man. A man sees his realization in spiritual care for a woman. It is hard for me to explain this because this, in principle, does not sound like it really is. Question: how can spiritual care be implemented in a rental family? Answer: and what does it mean to rent or not to rent? When we get married, don't we rent ourselves out? Do we not sell ourselves for a certain price? I give, you take, you give, I take. And all this is built on explicit laws that can be clearly arranged. Yes, there is a huge range of human feelings inside. But, in principle, Everything is very simple. Question. You once said that if a woman loses her family or a husband for various reasons, she still can live to a very old age, support herself, and it is much more difficult for a man to do this. Why? Answer. A woman is organized in such a way that within the framework of this world she settles in well, oddly enough. It would seem, how is it possible without a man? But actually, it is the opposite. A man without a woman is as if homeless. A woman, according to Kabbalah, is called home. Not a man but a woman, because it is in her nature to create a house, a family, a place, walls, roof. And a man, if he has no one to do it for, he will not do it for himself. Remark, it is like a tree without roots. The man is a tree and the woman is the roots. In many couples, when someone is invited to be a temporary partner, a person starts having feelings for this partner. My comment, naturally. Even more. It is precisely because they are not mutually connected, not obliged. Today, a partner with whom I have lived for many months and maybe coexisted together even longer can say, "Do you know that we have ended our contract today? That sounds awful. And it seems that this is the end of life, the end of the world. How could it be? I forgot that we had a contract. I forgot that I am playing. I forgot that they are playing with me. And that's it. And tomorrow morning, she will pick up her suitcase and calmly leave because in a couple of hours she has another contract, another family. And I am left alone and did not even think about my future. How can I disconnect from what I have now? It is very interesting. Question. Maybe it is worth creating a contractual relationship so that then people can build a family? So that the contract does not end? Answer. I think that as soon as they change the contract for marriages, this will be the end of it. Therefore, the best thing in this state is to say, the contract has ended. If you want us to stay together, we will have to live like real husband and wife with all the responsibilities. So, you have time to think about it until tomorrow. Remark, but it often turns into a drama because one person gets used to this relationship and for the other it remains a job. People actually get used to sympathy, to affection. My comment, for sure they get used to it. We see this even in actors who play certain roles. They cannot help but get used to them and continue to play in life just like on stage. Remark, this is how such dramas turn out when you enter this relationship. My comment, but this is professionalism, there is nothing you can do about it. Question. What kind of a family will we have in future? Rental families? Answer, in principle, I think that humanity will go as far as to use, roughly speaking, each other's services to achieve a higher level than the family unit or friendship, and will use this to achieve a higher level of mutual interactions. That is, it will be the interaction of people who want to reach the next, spiritual level. They will connect with each other in order to help one another psychologically and spiritually so that each of them, through the other, can also attain a connection with a higher cause. Question. Is it possible to turn this wonderful future into today, to try to implement it in the environment now? Answer. I do not think that there is a need for such connections today. Maybe with the younger generations. It is not brewing because they are not yet engaged in real spiritual practices. So, I do not see it. But it is slowly approaching. Maybe we will still see such families that emerge in order to complement each other and to reveal the Creator among themselves. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 28, 2020. New Life 1238. Quality of Life in the Coronavirus Era.
Shalom lachem,
hello to all of you. Thank you for joining us. This is our New Life talk, series of talks with Rav Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello. Hello everyone. Oh, and Today's show is about quality of life. Look, Rav Lightman, if I examine the parameters according to which everyone measures quality of life, whether high or low, I find parameters such as habitation. Does he have a house or not? Does he have a car or not? Does he have everything he needs in the house to live normally? Electricity, and does he have enough money to invest in culture and luxury? Can he go to see a show, a movie? Does he have financial security? Can he give his children high quality education, send them to university, and so on? There are many parameters that measure the level of life, the standard of life for people, low or high. And if we examine it according or across history, we see that always people aspire to live better. So there is a certain aspiration in a person for a high level, a high quality of life. Why? Because the person is egoistic and he wants to have at least as much as others have. Otherwise, he's ashamed of it. And of course, that depends on the society he's in, because it's compared to everyone else. And sometimes he may be ashamed of having too much. Sometimes he may be ashamed that he has too little, depending on the environment. But to live like everyone else, that's not clear, really, not easy to understand. But at least he wants to have security. Oh, and so the aspiration towards high quality of life, that's because we are social creatures. We measure ourselves compared to others. Yes, I always compare myself to other things. If I lived in a jungle, I would compare myself with my neighbor who may have, some colorful rag while I don't. And I would envy him. I would feel miserable and unlucky. Owen, I get it. So a person always measures himself compared to others, and accordingly he tries to raise his own quality of life level. True. Owen, if I look at myself compared to previous generations, I have things which my great-grandfather didn't even dream could exist. Love, correct. Oh, and so our quality of life keeps rising. How is that? Love, because our ego grows and grows and compels us to build, to create, to buy and sell everything we can, whatever we can. Owen, if I asked you, what in your opinion is the most important factor influencing the way a person feels with respect to if he has a low or high quality of life? I'll tell you about some studies that speak of this, and I want to ask you, what do you think the most meaningful factor is? It said that if a person is under pressure or stress from, God forbid, a health situation, or he loses his job, or social things, social events, then these things lower his quality of life. His personality, his aspirations, the means he has at his disposal with which to contend with the challenges he faces, and also his level of happiness as compared to others, as you said. So from all these factors, what would you define the most important one to be in terms of deciding quality of life? Love, the feeling of happiness, which is independent of anything. Oh, and what do you mean that it doesn't depend on anything? Like, he used to live hand to mouth on $1 per day, and from this day on he can live on $5 a day. It seems to him that he's king of the world. And it all depends on what he measures himself against. Owen, and what does he measure himself against? What does it depend on? Of who he is, in what kind of group or social group he is, on what level, according to what he examines himself. point. In this modern life, usually a person is very focused on the economic, on his finances, let's say, how much money he has to buy whatever he wants. However much money I have, that defines my socioeconomic situation, also the level of life I have, quality of life. How did money become such a dominant factor in terms of defining our quality of life? Love. We made it so. Money is the general measure by which we can see a person's quality of life, if he can have whatever he wants or not. And we see who he is, what he is, what kind of person he is according to his bank account, because our ego, our general will to receive, requires new fulfillments from us. And if we can satisfy our ego with these fulfillments, then we are said to be successful. Owen, we live in a time of, well, the coronavirus pandemic, which came and changed many things in our life. It's spoken of that, it is said that many things we could afford in the past, now because of the pressure and the uncertainty of what is to come, people prefer to leave the wallet in their pocket. Let's not take out our credit card and buy all sorts of things we may not absolutely need. And it is said that in the future we may have some sort of decline in quality of life. So what do you see the coronavirus doing to our quality of life as people, as humanity? Love, I hope that the coronavirus will correct us. We, 70, 80, 90 years ago, we've begun, after the Second World War, we began to build an unreal world, unrealistic, where we don't manufacture the things that we need, but rather we manufacture things which we can use to sell and buy and trade and just play games amongst ourselves. And that gave us a surplus of means, a surplus of money. And so we developed, instead of being 2 billion people, now we're 8 or 9 billion. And this is an addition which is absolutely senseless. We didn't develop industry with respect to things that are crucial, necessary for us, but rather we develop things which are a surplus to what we had before. I'm not saying if it's good or bad, it's simply, as it is written, go and make a living off of each other. Things that aren't exactly crucial for life. And so I think that these things now need to decline, diminish. First of all this fat that's on us, all this surplus, we need to get rid of that. It needs to be shed off of us, and we can get to a state where 10% of humanity is working and 90% of humanity doesn't work. Very simply, they don't work because there is no need for them to work. The fact that we opened a barber shop at every street corner and a kiosk and these things, those things, hotels and airplanes and everything, we created many things which are artificial, things that there was no urgent need for, and we began to feel as though this is life and that's how we need to fulfill our lives. This thing is unacceptable. Because between life and death here, we have only a few years in which we need to organize, establish our lives, and not to, well, destroy the planet.
Mm-hmm.
and pillage all of its natural resources. And so I'm certain that we cannot return to working as we did before. Well, perhaps half of the people can return. As far as I'm concerned, 90% of people working today, there's no need for them to work. And we need to invest ourselves in our correction. The work is, well, it's homework, as we call it. We need to work on ourselves, on our education and the education of our children in a very meticulous way. Who are we? What are we for? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? We need to fulfill ourselves with right purpose and meaning of life, and that should be our occupation. And I very much hope for this to be that way. And I talked about it 2 months ago when the coronavirus pandemic began. And I see it as all being fulfilled. And this decline you see in the quality of life, will it affect the person's mood and spirits? Will it make us sad? Sad? Why? No. It all depends on the education that we want to provide to ourselves. And the extent to which we build ourselves correctly to enjoy life, because we used to run and run and run many hours at work, here and there, putting our children in kindergarten, picking them back up. No, we don't need that at all. We need to know that a person doesn't live in order to fulfill this life by just running from place to place. We need to see the essence of life, what we end our lives with. It needs to be something very special. We need to live through it all our lives, to turn our humanity into a global, integral humanity in such a way where we become one people, one nation, one heart. That's the purpose of humanity as a whole. And until we do that, we will get all sorts of blows from various viruses constantly. And you're talking about some alteration in some change in the way a person relates to other people? Dr. Lightman, yes. So why does this have to affect the quality of life of the person? Dr. Lightman, I didn't talk about the quality of life. I said that we are engaging in the wrong things, wrong businesses. And as far as our quality of life, will it remain as it is now, as we're used to? Dr. Lightman, I think it will be even better, but I think that through education we'll get to a state where a person won't need any of these things. He won't need them. I know when I began to engage with the purpose of life, well, I'm no longer a person who just runs here and there. I no longer have much to do with culture and education and theater and music. For me, it's probably mostly the opera or some concert or a symphony. It's something very spectacular. But for me, I accept it in a different way now. I receive it a different way. For me, the main thing is to make of myself a human being. That's what I want to be. So this engagement is actually a person's self-fulfillment, to build myself up as a human being, Adam. Will this affect my quality of life or my perception of my quality of life? Dr. Leipman, no, that has nothing to do with it. You can live in a king's palace and feel as though it's not that you deserve it or don't deserve it. You don't even think about it. You engage in something completely. But let's say that you are a king and also a scientist. You understand? A scientist. So for you, the science You wanting to now open things up, to discover things, to do this experiment or that experiment, that's the main thing for you. And you don't care about all those rights of kingship, so to speak. So we see that people get fulfillment from what they engage in, and perhaps a scientist can study some tiny little insect he has in a box throughout his entire life, and he doesn't care about anything else. Oh, and so you relate to the satisfaction a person feels from his life, and it's something very inner and connected to a very specific source. If he's engaged with something meaningful in his life or not meaningful. Dr. Lightman, a person must study a very specific thing. The greater he studies things in a more specific, focused way. Owen, so this process in which we undergo this transformation, what will then give us joy in life, satisfaction in life? If I used to go on vacation abroad 7 times a year, will I continue going 7 times a year, more or less? Dr. Lightman, well, as much as you want. Go as much as you want, but we need to make sure that you won't just be traveling until the end of your life and then life ends and we bury you. No. You should want to fill your life with sublime meaning, the highest meaning that you can find. And then, and you should do that. You will do that. And if for that you need to be in the air all the time, flying around, then do that. Oh, and how does a person fill his life with sublime meaning? What's the definition of sublime meaning? Dr. Lightman, you are complete with what you have, with the point from which you die, from the point from which you are born to the point in which you die. Life and death, birth and infinity, everything above time. That's all the same for you. Owen, what does it depend on, such a thing, Dr. Lightman? On you are adhered to the meaning of life. And everything, and well, there's the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and I know about it, I'm living it, and mostly I'm alive. Why? Because I'm actualizing my life, fulfilling my life with every moment of it. Owen, so this sensation is actually what defines a person's quality of life, if he has higher quality or lower quality of life. Dr. Lightman, that's how he examines himself, to see, to measure the quality of his life. How? By fulfilling it with a higher purpose in life, for life. Oh, and so the coronavirus pandemic, did it come to us to change our definitions, the definitions according to which we measure our quality of life? Dr. Lightman, certainly. Oh, and so what is the difference there? Dr. Lightman, first of all, we're sitting at home. We're not running around like wind from one place to another. And we have more time to connect with our families, to think about our lives, and whatever we want to do. And we think a bit more about life itself, which, well, today
its
previous engagements and businesses, it won't. People who work in factories will go back. People who work in the fields, in things that we actually require to continue on living and existing. But all the services given, all the investment firms and so on, all of that, you will see that it will all collapse. Owen, will the person feel that something has been taken from him, that he lacks something? Dr. Lightman, no, he won't feel that it's taken from him. Perhaps he won't feel that... Well, perhaps there are some people who will feel it, but really no. It is a kind of purification. The coronavirus is laundering us, so to speak. Owen, so what are we losing here throughout this process, Dr. Lightman? Our surplus of ego, which brings us into all sorts of forms of life in which we're just running around purposelessly. Did you see children out playing in the backyard, just running around? Don't disturb me, I'm running, right? That's our life. Oh, and how is it going to change? What kind of life of a higher quality are you going to have? Dr. Lightman, while you sit with the child, tell me, how are you doing? How was your day? And he says, well, let me go. I want to run. I have a life. No. Right? So what's the... Oh, and so what's the moral of this? Dr. Lightman, moral, it's the actual life. We need to find the meaning of life. Owen, what is the meaning of life, the essence of life, Dr. Lightman? Dr. Lightman, as I told you today already, the meaning of life is such that I no longer feel a difference between the point of my birth, my life, or my death. It's all one. It never ends. I'm alive eternally. Owen, the point of birth, does the person remember it? Dr. Lightman, he doesn't, but he can imagine it to himself. Owen, the point of death, that usually a person somehow represses, right? Dr. Lightman, but it exists. Owen, yes, but it's something we don't like. We don't want to take it into account. So when you ask about the meaning, when you talk about the meaning of life, Dr. Lightman, I want to say that we reach a state where there is no time, there is no space. We reach a state called a spiritual state where there is no time or space. That's it. Owen, what is there? Dr. Lightman, nothing and everything. Everything but for these limitations of time, space, and motion. Owen, explain yourself a bit more. It's very interesting. Dr. Lightman, yes, it is very interesting, but it's difficult to explain. Our corporeal life entirely, all of it, exists within those two things which limit us, namely time, space, and motion. And if we rise above them, and it is possible, even according to Einstein's theories and according to psychology to an extent, but mostly according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, which says that if we rise above it, then we become entirely, completely free. As it is written, the dead are free. What death? What is death in this context? The death of our will to receive. If we put it to death, then we become free, and we no longer feel time, motion, or space. Rather, these parameters, they exist only in the feeling of our egoistic will to receive. Owen, the state you just, the process you just described, putting the ego to death, does a person need to put something to death in him, within him? What exactly, if so? Putting something to death sounds, well, the opposite of growth and life. Dr. Lightman, yes, but it depends on what. If it's that virus, you want to kill it, right? Owen, well, absolutely. Dr. Lightman, oh, there you go. That's our ego. That's exactly our ego. Owen, what do you mean, Dr. Lightman? Because we need to put to death our egoistic will to receive. It constantly pulls me into such ways of life, such forms that I need to get rid of, I need to emerge from. And I must rise above it. If I do it, and this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is meant for, then I go on to a different dimension, let's say. I think Einstein also dreamt of it, but he didn't know where to find it. It is being above time, space, and motion. Being above the limitations of our ego. These are psychological limitations. What existed in Newton's physics, well, there they took these limitations as fact, as given. Einstein said, no, these restrictions, limitations are relative. Time, space, and motion, that is. And we can change them, alter them. Nature has all sorts of states in which these things change. And the wisdom of Kabbalah says that we ourselves can change these things, time, motion, and space. And with these coordinates, or we can transform them, change them, alter them, however we want. And it all depends on the extent to which we rise above our ego, because the ego within the person, it gives the person these three discernments, which restrict us and don't allow us to see life as unrestricted. Oh, and how will this affect a person's happiness? Last question, and this is what we began from, Dr. Lightman. Well, there's nothing greater than to come out of those limitations, to leave them behind, because then you feel an eternal life. You also feel what eternity is. Right now, you don't feel eternity. It's infinity, right? It's not just eternity, right? There's, if it's infinity, then there's a feeling of a certain finality, and that you avoid it, right, or something. But eternity, it's such where everything is constantly being renewed, the fulfillment and the lack following each other, and there's no motion or space, time. The space, that's a derivation of lack, the lack, and that also vanishes because it's the existence of a lack, meaning that something is lacking, something is missing. That's why I feel this, I have a perception of space. We can see if something is empty or full or... Oh, and so what does a person remain with? Dr. Lightman, he remains with the feeling of eternity. Oh, and I'm sorry to say our time is over. Thank you very much all for being with us. Come again, we'll continue. New life. Goodbye.